Welcome to the July 19th edition of the Grant Committee on Working with Financial Resource Subcommittee. Today we have a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 1220 relating to watershed enhancement programs. What I'd like to do is introduce Robin Lamont and ask her to give us an orientation to the bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the measure creates a nine-member watershed enhancement and rural communities task force. There are -A2 amendments to the bill. Those amendments will revise the number of members on the task force from, I believe, 5 to 9. The amendments also make the Economic Development Department responsible for staffing the task force. And beyond that, I believe that Senator Corcoran could speak to the specifics of what the task force is responsible for doing.
Well, Mr. Chair, the purpose of this was to try to integrate a jobs in the woods approach for dislocated timber and fisheries workers to get a chance at employment in the salmon and stream enhancement programs that we'll be seeing. That's simply what the reason why. Of course, this came out of the Timber Union and the Labor Education Research Center at the University of Oregon that did a similar program with the Oregon Department of Forestry a couple of years ago, and with great success, retraining workers to do this kind of stuff. And I think it's critical for areas that are still lagging behind in terms of economic development in the state.
Thank you, Senator Corcoran. Is there any questions from the committee for Senator Corcoran or Mr. Lamont? Senator Child.
Senator, is there a federal matching share? Can we have some federal bucks on this program even?
Well, I would defer to OEDD, but they've indicated that they will certainly try to do that. The door is wide open with the amendment, and they're shepherding, I guess.
Sure. Senator Messerly.
This would be similar to the Clinton plan then, where they jobs in the woods that went off for. We got hired the fishers, and then we also had jobs in the woods. Is this trying to extend that?
Representative Messerly, would you be referring to the highly successful Clinton plan for hiring the 30,000 workers that we lost in the forest products industry?
We haven't seen that one yet. We've just seen
many. Oh, no, that was the other plan that didn't get any money on the ground in Oregon. Most of that money went to Washington and California. This is related to that, but I don't think it is the same issue at all. The watershed enhancement work that we're doing in connection with Measure 66, I think. I'll defer to Senator Corcoran.
That's it.
Follow-up?
I'm trying to envision what kind of work this grant is, this employment would be.
Well, Mr. Chair, the a similar program that existed, I wish we had had the folks here from LIRC, the pilot program that they ran, I think it was out of the Swiss home area, was basically put dislocated timber workers into the woods doing stream restoration projects. And I would envision that whatever is created as a result of the additional measures, 66 resources and the salmon and stream restoration programs. It was a minimal amount of training and then put people right into the woods. That was the concept, because we really haven't, as you well know, we've maybe created a few service jobs, in areas like Coos Bay or down in Douglas County or Oak Ridge, my district. We've never really come up with jobs that were anywhere compatible in terms of wages and benefits to the jobs that were lost. And I don't know what those jobs are going to look like. When we did it in Swiss Home, we basically created sort of a forest technician classification. There's something similar to a forestry technician classification.
Sure.
Follow-up, Representative.
I don't see any accessible on this. I'm looking for a study. There's got to be some expenses.
Mr. Moss?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I did hand out a fiscal impact. The costs that are assumed have to do with travel and meeting expenses that are minimal.
It's on the, it could be on the front of what I handed you.
Okay.
Why, was initially the, and then it's the month.
$4,000.
Could you recap the cost here for us?
The fiscal impact assumes that the task force would meet 7 times, and the per diem and expenses for the 4 legislative members is estimated at $4,126. Expenditures for per diem and expenses of the governor's 5 appointees are assumed to be about $2,930. And in discussing this with the Economic Development Department, although it is not clear whether they are accountable for those costs, they have indicated that they would seek federal funds for those costs.
One more, Mr.
Follow up by Mr. Nichols.
They make up for the committee. Wouldn't that be better to have 3 from each of the legislatures? With a prevailing party and one from the minority party and then 3 from the governor's office. And normally, at least recently, governor's appointments have to concur or speak to the president. So this is just appointed by the governor.
Senator Kirk?
Well, Doris, why don't you come up to this basically, I have no dog in the fight of who appoints him to the membership of this committee. And the expansion of the committee to 9 was based on the suggestion of OEDD to have it look like their previous experiences in this area. So, George, you want to? Yes,
sir. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Doris Tenlow from the Economic Development Department. When we were approached about this bill, we talked to the governor's office, especially their natural resource people, to talk about how we might be able to integrate some of the work that's being done in the natural resource area with the work of the partnerships that are forming around the state so that we can be sure that we're connecting these things, and this is a perfect opportunity to do that. And the department's very happy to be involved. And we would try to use federal funds, et cetera, or maybe even some strategic reserve to get it going, whatever we can do, because we're interested in connecting all this stuff. We think the membership should be made up of folks from around the state that are knowledgeable in these areas. And the experience we had with the interim work group on economic and community development was when the governor put together his appointees, he made sure that it was coordinated with the legislative appointees so that we had, you know, membership that could really help move the process. It was very successful in terms of that activity. We think we could do the same thing. So we just want to be sure we have some citizen folks, maybe county, city types, that are involved in some of these activities and know the importance of the thing so that they're connected to the legislative membership that's appointed. And I don't think we care about the numbers particularly.
Thank you.
Other question? Question 10.
The on line 5 in section 1-1, the program must work in conjunction with the personal economic needs. And I certainly have felt that, you know, using workers that have these skills are probably our best ones for doing the groundwork. But saving the salmon is the first priority, and I would think that it's, you know, where at all possible, it's desirable to have people with these skills. So I wouldn't, you know, saying that you have to do it this way, I was just wrong. I'm not really strong on that particular set of wording, but I wouldn't want our salmon efforts to be, you know, first priority, who we hire, and then what jobs we do. I think it's, you know, it's where at all possible, it's symbiotic. And I have felt that our forest workers really are the ones with the ideal skills to, you know, to do that groundwork. The other thing is I just wasn't seeing clearly how the task force ended. It didn't seem like it needed to go forever, and 7 meetings sounds like, you know, it should be plenty to set a direction and go from there. I just wasn't seeing clearly how it ended. I see where the report, but I didn't see where the task force ended.
Mr. Chair, members, section 4 sunsets the task force on December.
So it says
the repeal on December 31st, 2000.
Right.
I guess that'll do it. Thank you.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Corcoran, currently the watershed restoration on the ground legwork is mostly done by volunteers. My concern with the concept in the bill is that if we were to take the capital improvement portion of the Measure 66, well, I guess we couldn't do that because this would need to be the salary side of it, wouldn't it?
Well, basically, the purpose of this bill is to create a task force that will make recommendations to the next legislature. So how that looks, I mean, my guess is that what you would try to construct and what the task force would be led to is looking at the dislocated workforce in, let's say, South Coast and or in Douglas County, your area. Look at that workforce, work with Umpqua Community College to see, you know, what skills would be needed, what kind of jobs would be available, if there are jobs available to do the salmon stream restoration. I mean, at some point, if we're going to continue to pump resources into it, it's not going to all be done by volunteer work. I mean, we've had a considerable amount done by volunteer work, but we've also subsidized work, like up on the North Coast with all the fencing. I mean, there was some volunteer effort in that, but there was also resources needed to do that. Whatever they did, 56 miles of fencing or whatever, I mean, it took some workers and some structure to do that. So I'm not sure what the task force has come up with at this point, but in my mind, we have, you know, these two processes happening, you know, the loss of jobs on the timber side on the one hand and the focus on the salmon on the other. And my whole point was to try to get as much, you know, combined effort on trying to deal with both those, looking at both those issues in the context of the other.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Mr. Mitchell.
Mr. Chair, I certainly, you know, come from the area I do too. I'm very sensitive to the need for jobs for these people that have been displaced. I'm really concerned, and maybe I can know more about the Sweet Home Florida project, but it seems to me that what I would hope the task force would look at is ways to take in contracts which would fit with the capital expenditures. Most of the work that's being done is done by contractors.
Mm-hmm.
They come in with equipment and that thing. Particularly if we're looking for family type jobs, and that would still be seasonal. The other concern I have, though, is that there's going to be a point when nature's going to take, we're going to bring this thing back and get some structure back in streams and riparian zone. But there's a point when nature's going to take over again, and you're going to have events, floods, and whatever that will put debris in the streams. And I don't see that this is a long-term thing that we're going to continually have, at least contracting type structure. I think there's a point where the efforts in the watershed is going to be conflict resolution as opposed to construction that we're doing now. So I think, I would hope that the task force of this bill gets through would be very sensitive to not setting these people up for another failure as opposed to training them for something that will go on for some time.
Mr. Chair, the presumption would be if stream enhancement projects operate the way they're intended to, and if we get some change in federal timber policy, that these people could go back to the jobs they had before in the fisheries or in the woods.
Representative Jensen.
I'm meditating a little on the last assumption that Senator Corcoran has. Is this an independent meditation?
It is an independent meditation. Thank you, Senator. But it does strike me that the jobs that we are potentially talking about and the watershed enhancement are not likely to be the living wage jobs that we're trying to replace. And even if there's some possibility for some living wage job there, it does strike me that they're likely to be temporary or fleeting in nature, which maybe sets up the condition that Representative Messerly is talking about. And I realized when you set up a task force, it's a great number of opportunities and places for them to go. But it looks, my sense of looking at this is that if there is a task force, there ought to be some direction there to be looking at the type of economic development that can take place in those communities in this new environment that we're creating, that will create jobs and industry that is consistent with and supportive of the new environment as such. And of course, I think I would see the economic development department as that already being part of their existing responsibility. Whether or not that's a correct assumption on my part, I don't know. I would be supportive, but I think the task force needs to, and maybe in the legislation itself or some proposal to it, needs to point to something other than a quick, short-term fix type thing, long-term activities, because these communities need to have some economic growth and development long-term in order for them to, you know, sustain the populations that are there and add to. That would be my concern.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, section 8, line 18 on the first page, I believe, speaks to that. It says, parks integrate watershed and rural community needs to create high-quality, year-round, high-skilled employment opportunities for the residents of rural communities. So I would think that that would encompass the concerns that you were addressing.
Could you help me with your page?
Page 1, line 18.
Oh, okay. I thought you said section 8.
Oh, sorry.
I'm having a hard time finding it.
Section 8 would be referring to the author of the bill.
Actually.
That was a military employee.
Okay.
It shows.
Senator Cook and I had a question relating to that relating clause.
Is your bill, don't start with me.
Changes the requirements for grants under the Watershed Improvement Grant Fund. I was curious if you could address that.
Where are you?
Relating clause, but Senator, it seems to me that after 17 meetings of the SRQ committee and 11 meetings of this committee, a 15-minute hearing before us, a non-substantive subcommittee was a bit strange to ask to change the entire process for how grants would be handed out under the Watershed Tax.
Mr. Chair, I believe that is in there because the original bill did not create a task force. It actually was a broader attempt to create a program. Let me find the original bill. I think that's what our relating clause is in there.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that's actually in the summary, and we could request counsel to strike that language if it's incorrect.
Oh, my understanding was that was never changed the way.
Oh, yeah, that was a summary, not a relating clause.
Mr. Chair, it's not the relating clause. We can't change that. The
relating clause is just watershed enhancement program. Station X. Honestly, is that up?
Question?
I'll just go. Kind of getting along. But if the feds ever do something useful, it might be helpful to have some process by a group like this so we have some way to say, you know, we've thought about this before and we've got some recommendations on how to proceed, because so many of these communities are surrounded by federal lands, and there could be, you know, some pretty, you know, significant work that maybe doesn't go forever, but could go for a full-on period when the feds get more active in this way. And it seems to me that they've been, in my mind, underactive in terms of doing these things. I also have some concerns about the longer term where we have fuel workers in the woods, and that, you know, we're losing community skills and things, and this, you know, might be, you know, somebody helps sustain some of that.
not necessarily have to train some, but get some opportunity to work with. That is passed along.
Thank you, Chris. Senator Corcoran, is your thinking crystallized on the relating clause question there?
Yeah, you can look at the original bill, and it required what's been removed is the language in, here it is.
Actually, Senator, I'm advised in session 3.
I was looking at 2, step 4.
Step 4 is what is the relating clause relating to the change that would be on page 2, beginning on line 37. Colleagues, most of us have important work to do at 8:30, so I'm going to go to the work session on this bill.
Mr. Chairman, move the H.O. limit for us about 12 points.
Senator Toronto moves the H.O. amendment to Senate Bill 20. Any discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Hearing none, so moved. Senator Tarna.
Move the rules, Mr. Chair. The floor of the DPAS recommendation.
There's a motion to move the bill to the floor of the DPAS recommendation. Any questions on the motion?
Full ways and means.
Let's move it to full ways.
That's late. We can just move right there.
Question, Representative Nessel.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to give a courtesy vote on this, but I'm concerned that we're not making this thing more complicated than it really needs to be. I think if we can refine the process we already have in place, the watershed programs, the grant program, the timber companies, the landowners, the contractors, we'll get those people jobs open. And I'm not sure. I'm a little concerned with the language here, what we're really talking about.
Are you suggesting that we refer the bill to the FRC committee for a substandard
Mr. Chair, I also am willing to give this a courtesy vote to move it through the system, but I have reservations about this being a good use of the Measure 66 money. I think that there are other things that we can do as a legislative body in terms of tax credits and different things like that to encourage companies that already are in this sphere to do more work and put their people to work in this area. I also have a question for Senator Corcoran. I was very gratified to hear you say that you were hoping for a change in policy at the federal level concerning federal forest land usage, and I was curious as to whether that meant that you were voting Republican in the next presidential election.
Certainly indicated a change in policy.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, Representative Morgan. 2 points. Number one, this isn't about Measure 66 money, just to clarify that. And number two, it was a conservative Republican from North Carolina that just tried to keep six the jobs in the woods program, even though it hasn't helped Oregon specifically. It was a much-needed natural resource bill, and it was a conservative Republican that tried to deep six it. So there's villains on both sides. But I do think the point in time is a disaster for us. There's no question.
I'm glad to hear that.
Any relevant comments?
Just for giving pre-vote explanations, actually, to explain why I support this package. And quite frankly, the reason why I do is going to see the dialogue. And any time we get a group of folks together talking about jobs, forest products, or watershed enhancement, we get a better understanding of the problem. And I think in respect, it's a good idea. It's a very good idea. We get together periodically, we're going to talk about these things.
Thank you, Senator Tarno. Senator Messer, did you have any pre-vote comment that you wish to register for?
I struggled hard to find one, but no.
So you'll
be voting. Still warming up.
So you'll be voting now on this.
Just your name and Senator Corbett both on the bill, I think, and I will be a nice strong yes on this one.
and referencing.
Well, I do expect someday the feds will spend some money here, but I also expect that without our help, they'll screw it up. And so I'm thinking that, you know, this might be a good way to help mitigate some of that.
We have not heard from the independent, so I think I'll just ask their
question. I'm just absolutely ecstatic that I have Senator Corcoran on the left side of the aisle doing something that has pleased Representative Morgan on the right side of the aisle, but I have to vote for this.
Just to tell the independent caucus, things are changing in the last few days of the session. I mean, on Saturday, because you guys are done on Saturday, we had a bill with Senator Corcoran and Senator Keith Hunt were the sponsors of the bill on the same. So, things are getting
hysterical.
And for the record, Representative Johnson, you were correcting your assessment that Michelle Morgan is on the right side of the aisle.
Depends on whether you're looking to the front of the bank.
Any way you look at it, it's on the right side of the aisle.
Thank you for your
bipartisan comment. Now that we're all late to our important work at our next meeting, I will call a roll or ask a roll to be called.
Oh, maybe Senator Greger might be playing his role.
Sure.
Let's not say you.
Anyone calling the roll?
You'll notice that Senator George is not so sponsored.
Ms. Reyes, Chairman Canada, here. Senator Charma?
Hi.
Senator George?
I talked to you into
a lot of those Senator George.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Your name's on the bill. Hi.
I know it is, huh?
My golly.
Aye.
Aye. The chair will give his pre-vote explanation, which is I'm certain, Senator Corcoran, that there's a pony in here somewhere, so the chair will vote aye. The measure passes. It will move to the Ways and Means of the unanimous two-pass recommendation, and the chair will carry. Senator Corcoran will carry on the floor, and do I have a volunteer to carry this on the House side?
I'd be glad to.
Senator Corcoran, do you trust your colleague, Representative Steve, here, the bill on the House floor?
That is the main question.
What's his record for carrying bills?
Work session is closed, Senator Representative Steve, carrying the bill. Proving you to get Senator Corcoran to out, but you don't like to take it.
I'm going to go quietly. I'm going to go quietly.